back. Perhaps you can help solve a mystery. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast you clicked on. We're the Stack Pack. I'm David Howell, joined by Daniel Benavides.
And if you didn't mean to click it, I'm sorry, but you're stuck. You're committed. You just gotta listen now.
And we're also joined by Eli.
What's up? It's a little weird today. For some reason, I'm having technical difficulties, but hopefully you can still hear me okay.
Yeah, no, it's just what we're hearing. It has nothing to do with your mic.
No, I know, but it's going to be terrible if you can't hear me.
Yeah, so we're here. We're doing what, season 5, episode 13. And we got some old-timey Deadwood ghosts.
Western ghosts.
We got a Timothy Oliphant ghost.
Ghosts and chaps.
Yeah, well, I don't know about chaps.
Assless ones.
I say Timothy Oliphant ghost because
he's like the go-to.
No, because he literally played Seth Bullock in the TV show Deadwood.
Oh.
which I've never seen, but I've heard it's really good.
Isn't there a game to Deadwood?
No, I don't think so. You might be thinking like Red Dead Redemption or something.
Oh, yeah, I am thinking about Red Dead. Sorry. I'm not a gamer. All of our gamer listeners.
And I don't know classic HBO shows. Yeah.
And did you tell our wonderful listeners about our new OnlyFans that we started?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Starting this week, you can subscribe to the Stack Pack on OnlyFans, and you can watch this very podcast, but we're naked. So that's right. If you want to stay behind the paywall, you just have to imagine us sitting here talking to each other on laptops naked. But if you pay for that OnlyFans, you can get exclusive. You can get that exclusive content.
You can actually see it.
Yeah, we're just sitting here naked.
Exclusive content.
Yeah, it's kind of like a new thing we're doing. And
you heard it here first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no other podcast is doing this.
I'm trying not to move because I'm sitting in a leather chair and it's quite hot and sticky.
It's making noises.
Yeah, all sorts of odd noises. That was not a can opening. That was something else. Use your imagination. But yeah, we got some fun cases. We have the most celebrated murder in America.
You know, I've never looked into this case until today. So
I just thought it was funny that Stack used those words, celebrated murder. I'm like,
really you've never heard of choice. Black Dahlia Murder Day?
Like what holiday? Well, I guess he said celebrated American like murder crime or celebrated
yay!
Crime.
Yay! It sounds like we're like, you know, having
a
festival.
Parade. There's a pinata, yeah, that is neatly cut in half and drained of goodies.
Oh man!
Oh, that sounds the worst.
That
sounds like the worst.
A Black Dahlia pinata that like has no candy. All the candy has been surgically removed.
It's already opened.
Pristinely,
the doctor took it all.
Pristinely severed and surgically removed.
It still has a head, though.
Yeah, still has a head, so maybe it's not the torso slayer. But yeah, that's basically what this first case is about. They're kind of connecting the famous Black Dahlia murder to the torso slayings, and I think this is very plausible. I'd never heard this before.
Yeah, neither have I. And you know what's great is that usually when Unsolved Mysteries does this, I feel like they're reaching, like, it's like, oh, come on. Actually, this one sounds like it could be legit.
Speaking to that very point, what came across Netflix when we weren't actually watching, a documentary starting next month or next week called Sons of Sam. And I think it's going to explore that whole thing that maybe David Berkowitz, you know, was working with a group of people, like they say on Unsolved Mysteries.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I think, and we
conspiracy theories.
Well, yeah, but I mean, remember that case? Like some of the mugshots, like it's like a really tall, skinny guy with like longer hair. Like there's no way anybody would mistake David Berkowitz for like a tall, skinny, lanky man. Like
we still need to get Tommy Zeno on the case, man.
Oh man, we got to
has a car wash
every year. We got to do our yearly reach out. Like, yo, can you talk to us? We do an Unsolved Mysteries podcast, Tommy.
We have listeners now.
Yeah.
Listen to us. We have fans.
Come on, Tommy.
We'll plug your car stuff.
Car detailing?
So, you can detail our car.
Yeah. But yeah, let's just get into this. So you said you'd never I was completely
unfamiliar with this case. I only knew it because, well, I learned about it because of the dumb band that we used to listen to. And then,
if I ever listen to something that's too like soft and sweet, and I'll always just put on Black Dahlia Murder really quick and just like get it out of my system. Like,
and then, I never looked into the case. I knew of it, but I never looked into it. And I knew it just had to deal with an unsolved murder, which is really crazy because usually I delve into those things, you know, head first. But for some reason, I just couldn't get into this one. But
I was telling Dan, if you ever actually look at the crime scene photos, it's just like it was so long ago and it just looks so fake. It's weird because it's like black and white and like so brutal. And like, you know,
it's so sterile.
You can't see that much details. And it's, yeah. And because it's so sterile and bloodless, it just looks so fake.
Do they show actual like pictures of the?
Oh, you can find it now. Yeah.
Wikipedia.
Like, even like not on Wikipedia, but even
the dark web.
Yeah. Dark web, isn't really a thing. but in 1992, even when they covered this case on Unsolved Mysteries, they're not. They don't give all the detail. I mean, they do in like the sweetest words, in the easiest words possible. They tell you, you know, how she was killed, and they explain how she was cut from ear to ear, like a evil grin, you know, a la Heath Ledger. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about Elizabeth Short, the person. Before she was even murdered, she was called the Black Dahlia. She was
Elizabeth Short.
Basically, she was an aspiring Hollywood actress in the 40s, and then things don't go great for her, and she starts, she becomes a sex worker, you know, kind of like for a higher class clientele, because she was insanely beautiful. January 1947, she's last seen in a diner with the guy with red hair. They leave together, and she's never seen alive again. They find 22-year-old Elizabeth Short severed in half, gutted and drained. With, like we said, surgical precision. Her throat was also cut, and she was sexually mutilated. And it's not till years and years later, like I think the 80s, when they connect it to the torso slayings. So the way the whole connection goes back between Elizabeth Short and the Cleveland torso murder actually has to do with Robert Stack's past, doesn't it? Did you catch this, Eli, or no?
Yeah, I did, because he played Elliot Ness.
Yeah, he did play Elliot Ness on The Untouchables, and he talks a little bit about Elliot Ness's time after The Untouchables when he worked in Cleveland. And did we not cover this on a separate Unsolved Mysteries, the torso slayer?
No, I don't remember if we ever did.
We covered some other serial killer that Elliot Ness was unable to catch. I think it might have been the torso slayer. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe there was more than one serial killer.
There might have been
Elliot Ness's grasp because he was, you know, pretty famous. But yeah, so basically, yeah, he worked in Cleveland, wasn't able to catch the Cleveland torso slayer. So like I said, the movie star who wasn't able to get work turns to become a sex worker. She's last seen in that diner in San Diego. And they think that the man with the red hair might have been a man named Robert Manley. Because he had dated Elizabeth Short before, but they were able to clear him pretty quickly. I think he had a pretty good alibi. They said there was also a bunch of other dudes that were like, known to hang out with or around Elizabeth Short that were also cleared. So after the body's found, everybody's just like, what the hell? They have like no leads, nothing to go on. A package gets delivered to the local newspaper, and did it say it had her shorts?
Had her personal belongings and her contact books, also her
trick
known
book.
As
trick. They called it a trick book.
Yeah, with one page torn out. So I guess a trick book. Yeah, just like a book with all of her Johns and then their numbers and addresses and things. Mm-hmm.
Their kinks,
likes, dislikes. So that was found with a page torn out, and of course, they suspect that the name of the person who killed her is most definitely on that page. The letter said, here's the Dahlia's belongings, and that there was a letter to follow. I don't think there was ever a letter, though. Maybe there was. And it's so that, so basically nobody has any other, that's the last thing they have to go on until 1989 when, like I said, this guy connects it to the torso slayings. So in 1935, after leaving the Untouchables, Ness settles back into Cleveland where he becomes the public safety director. And through the years of 34 through 38, 13 mutilated bodies are found in and around Cleveland. All cut with surgical precision, but like we said, mostly decapitated, unlike Elizabeth Short. During these murders, they get like a letter from Los Angeles, and the Slayer basically tells them that he moved on to California, and he was performing medical experiments on his human guinea pig victims out there in L.A., and he had bragged that he had already beheaded one lady and buried her head in a gully. Interestingly enough, about 10 years later, that's where Elizabeth Short's body would have been found, in that same area where he claims to have buried this head or dumped this head.
So I looked up these pictures, and oh my gosh, they are so brutal.
Right?
They are crazy. I can't believe I've never seen this before.
Dude, it's a wild story.
Yeah. So they do claim, like you had said, when her body was dumped, that they left her in somewhat of a sexual position, and that's true. And she was completely mutilated. It is horrible. And they say that they believe she was kept captive.
Yeah, that she was tortured. That's fucking crazy. But they look fake, right? Like,
because she had rope marks, that bindings on her body that it looked like somebody had tied her with rope and was keeping her captive.
And also, the bodies were like, the body was cleaned like after, you know, it was like precision, you know, it was drained of all the blood and cut. Apparently somebody cleaned the body so hard they left bristles from the brush embedded in her skin.
Yeah, and washed her hair. I think they said her hair was washed.
So weird. Butcher knives were used for both the torso slings and Dahlia. They were both, they were also tortured, just like we were just mentioning that the Dahlia was. A lot of the torso slings were also tortured. And the torso slings were also placed in sexual positions. But like we said, not decapitated like the Cleveland victims. But also they do point out that some of the torso slayer's victims were not decapitated. So, you know, could have just been a time thing. Who knows? But I feel like for me, I like to think that, you know, she was known around town. It was kind of more of a like, fuck you, if, you know, her face is right out there.
Yeah.
You know, like he knew it would have been a high profile kind of big deal. Because she was, you know, known around that area. That's just my opinion. He thought he could maybe get a bigger rise out of committing a crime like this, someone publicly known.
Just trying to think like a mind of a serial killer. Wouldn't you think that like by decapitating her, it would have been like a bigger story? Like, oh my God, they found this woman who was known and her head was cut off.
I don't know. I mean, if he had been doing it in Cleveland and
not getting the notoriety that they wanted.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? But it could have just been a time thing as well. But that seems unlikely because if she was tortured and cleaned up after, so.
Yeah.
Apparently, before Elliot Ness retires, somebody comes up and tells him that a member of one of the influential families of Cleveland fit his profile for the torso slayer. And he said, okay, let's meet this guy. And apparently he was kind of a weird, odd dude who admitted to attending medical school. And
this dude looks like Niles Crane from Frasier.
Yeah, well, in the reenactment, like, who knows?
Very,
like,
Niles Crane-esque. It's
completely speculation, right? Like, they don't know how he looked or talked or anything.
Right.
Does he like talk salad and scrambled eggs?
He does. And he likes to wipe his chair down with his handkerchief. He also looked like they showed a caricature and he looked like a psychopath.
Yeah, yeah. That seemed kind of like a racist, like, I don't know. It seemed weird. So yeah, he was weird. They gave him two lie detector tests and he failed both of them. And, you know, he was fucking up answering questions. He kept answering shit wrong. And then Ness straight up asked him, like, I think you're the killer. And he said, prove it, pretty much.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was his gut feeling.
And that's how a lot of those detectives, that's how they solved cases. They said that they had to go with their gut sometimes.
Yeah. It was his gut feeling that this was the guy. He couldn't pass the lie detector. But he can't do anything because after he lets him go, apparently the guy just checks himself into a mental hospital. And
yeah, that's pretty telling.
Yeah, and he thinks that it was part of some deal with the family, like, you know, check yourself in and we'll just forget about you and, you know, it'll just go away or, you know. And that's when the theory comes in because I guess the murders didn't stop.
I guess they continued.
I don't know. They're not very specific about it, but they do say that they think that, you know, if he checked himself in voluntarily, he could have just checked himself out at any time and continued murdering. Right. But
excuse me, Nurse. I'm just gonna pop out for a wee bit and
do a bit. I'm gonna go commit some murder. I'll be right back.
Why is he British?
I don't know. I just went with it because that's what Dan kind of set the precedent. So I'm just gonna go there.
Excuse me, sir. I'm from Cleveland. I am.
Oi, love. I'm just gonna pop out for a quick moment and murder him.
I'm gonna pop out to the pub for a bit of crisps with me chips in it.
That's how everybody talks in Cleveland, right? Yeah. Hey, if you're from Cleveland, send us a soundbite. I want to hear the way you talk.
want to hear that beautiful Cleveland British accent.
But basically, to put a little bow on that story, Ness never identified his suspect, and he went to the grave with that information. I don't know. It's an interesting theory to propose. And it's really unbelievable to me that somebody would do something like the Black Dahlia who had never done anything like that before.
Oh, it was commit a crime definitely. Like, this guy was seasoned. Yeah. Seasoned.
Yeah, totally.
So you mentioned that we covered Elliot Ness. We did. It was season 3, episode 19. And it was kind of touched on this a little bit. And as far as the Cleveland murders were concerned, we talked about police corruption and the two apparent serial killers. One was the Butcher of Kingsley, and the other one was the torso killer.
Was it Kingsbury or?
Kingsbury or Kingsley? Let me check my sources. I'm from Cleveland, I am.
I actually recently watched the Black Dahlia Murder, the movie.
Oh, is there a movie?
Yeah, and if you're like really into like true crime and like getting all the details, this movie is probably not for you. It's good, but it's a fictional story. It's based on a book. It's directed by Brian De Palma. It's stylish and really fun to watch. But it's like it's based on this book that's kind of like a fictional historical fiction, because it's about this detective who like knew Elizabeth Short sort of, his girlfriend looks like Elizabeth Short, and it's like he gets like sucked into this whole world of like intrigue and police corruption, and it's more of like if you like gangster movies and stuff like that, like set a lot, like Josh Hartnett plays a cop and he's just trying to do the right thing, but he's kind of a bad person. It's really fucking well done.
The flawed hero
Obama movie.
So yeah. It was the butcher of Kingsbury.
So Elliot Ness was working. There's two major serial killers in his stint as public health. What was it again? Public relations. sounded like a weird
public relations murder.
He became the public safety director. Like,
yes, public safety director of Cleveland. You're correct.
Which is like a weird.
Basically, the public murder officer of Cleveland.
Yes.
I don't know, but wouldn't they just call that like fucking chief of police or like head of homicide or I don't know. I just feel it sounds like
different.
Chief of murder.
It sounds like just like a civil engineer or something. Yeah, like something public safety
director sounds like the principal of the construction site or something.
So, yeah, in the wiki, actually, we talk about, or it talks about, the two of the suspects that he thought. But then Unsolved Mysteries says at the end of this segment that he took the suspect that he really thought was responsible for these killings to the grave. So who knows?
Yeah, that's the guy. That's the
Niles Crane.
Yeah. They never got his name. And the next case is a Lost Loves that I don't really want to get into.
Oh, my God.
I hate Lost Loves. And this one sucks.
Fuck this mom.
Lady who leaves her daughter to take care of all of her children while she goes to a restaurant.
To run the restaurant she bought.
The mom, that mom is a fuck shit bitch tit.
Dude, I hope she suffered so bad. And I hope I would not have put her in a nursing home. I would have let her die on the street.
Yeah, I hate at the end of the segment how she's like, I want to find all my siblings and then I'll be able to forgive my mom. I'm just like, what the fuck does that have to do with forgiving your mom?
No, don't forgive your mom. It's okay. It's
like, find your siblings, love each other, and go fucking like flick cigarettes at her, throw stones at her or something.
I don't know who needs to hear this. Somehow, in the last few, I don't know, growing up, some people were like, well, family's everything you got. No, sometimes it is. Sometimes you get lucky and you get a great family. And sometimes you get a really shit hand and a shit mom. And like those people you need to cut out of your life. Cut out all those toxic people. That's my sermon for today. Yeah. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. If you got a shitty dad and he's a piece of shit and he's never there for you, that's not your family. Leave him.
Yeah, I'm sure you got 5, 6, 7, even just one really good friend.
Work on yourself.
That's all, yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Message us. We'll be your friend.
Yeah. I have so many friends that listen to the friends that I made because they listen to our bullshit.
Dude, seriously, I hate that. It's so sad when like people stick around and it's like being in an abusive relationship where they just allow their shitty parents to just keep bullying them.
Just keep being shitty.
It's yeah, like, dude, there comes a point. There comes a point when you just got to cut those people out. Cut it out.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we really? We don't. We've set our piece on that case, right? I don't know.
Yeah,
There's like a 16-year-old daughter taking care of 5 kids, and they all get, you know, parsed away because eventually, you know, the 16-year-old daughter can't take care. Like, she lights a fire accidentally.
Basically, the mom buys this little house, shoves them there, and says she's never coming back. It did say that she tried to do good, and the wiki says that they tried to – the mom sometimes try to give the kids meals from the restaurant, but it was only sometimes. Anyways, they survive this harsh winter. The 16-year-old has to drop out of school to take care of her kids. They survive this harsh winter. The house burns down because she has to cut down the tire swing.
Yeah, and she uses the tire. There was just
too much fuel. These kids just get separated after that. The mom wants nothing to do with them. She's a piece of shit. And
cockroach boys.
The end. They finally all meet up. I will say at the end of the segment, I was confused because I counted 6 siblings at the beginning.
There was one missing daughter, wasn't there?
They do suspect that she just chose not to be a part of the episode, but they do suspect that she was reunited with them because she was the
because the brother they found was adopted with the sister, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. The end was really sweet. It was before they find the siblings, the message from the deaf brother was really sweet, and it was nice to see them all find each other.
Yeah, but really is.
I don't want to get.
But that mom
that's
sucks.
Family.
That
mom sucks, dude. Yeah. That doesn't even begin to. I hope she's.
What is my?
I hope she went straight to heck.
My note says the mom is a fuck shit bitch tit, and I stand by it. Fuck shit bitch tit. That sounds like something I would have said as like a.
Oh man,
10-year-old. So let's get back to some mysteries, guys. The unexplained. The ghost of Timothy Oliphant.
Let me get my chaps on.
Oh, I like this one because Sandy Bullock's in it. The
good old Sandy Bullock.
The lady from Speed herself.
Fucking Bird Bird Box.
Miss Congeniality.
Did you see Bird Box?
In the flesh. Of course I saw Bird Box.
What do you think about her face?
I didn't really pay too much attention to her face. You don't like it?
Dude, yeah. I mean, her plastic surgery is intense. Like, she looks like Steven Tyler.
Ooh, but that's
like,
bad.
But, like, with her skin, like, folded back. Like,
ooh, that's bad. I'm going to have to watch it again and pay closer attention.
I've actually been enjoying the soundtrack to Bird Box.
Lady looks like a dude.
Lady looks like a dude. I've actually been listening to the soundtrack for Bird Box. I put it on my my spooky reading playlist on Spotify because it's Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross.
I love his stuff, man. I love that he did The Social Network also.
Oh, that's like, another great soundtrack. Like that's
it's a great. It's amazing.
The soundtrack's so much better than the movie. I listen to that one all the time too.
Oh, and dude,
the
Watchmen, it's so good.
The Watchmen soundtrack from the new HBO series. Fuck.
I thought you were talking about the movie. No, I thought you meant the movie.
Oh, the movie's great too.
The movie's good.
You know, we
all saw that together. Actually, I think didn't we? We all went to go to Tinseltown and watch that together.
Maybe.
Yeah, we got really high.
Which
that
one?
Was like 2008 or
what? Social Network?
No, Watchmen.
No, Watchmen. We all got really high. Anyways, let's talk about huge handlebar mustaches.
So the unexplained is this next case. We are going to Deadwood in the 1870s. Gold Rush was cray, so there was lots of interesting friggin' characters around these parts. People.
Yeah, I didn't know that Deadwood was such a...
I didn't know it was real.
Well, I didn't know, what's the word? Not delightful. Such a colorful,
place. Yeah, that's good. There was people, the likes of Wild Bill Hickok and Calamity Jane were just...
Say cock again.
Some of the... Hickok. Were, hanging out around there. And it was kind of the... It was literally the Wild West until Sheriff Seth Bullock came to town and they said that he didn't even have to use a gun.
It was that mustache, dude. That mustache demanded authority.
It wielded power like a motherfucker. It
demanded respect.
He would just stare at people.
The little mustache would just do a little wiggle and be like...
That's what I imagined. Yeah,
people put their hands up.
I imagine it like walks off of his mustache.
His mustache has his... his mustache is even packing. Has a little six shooter on the side.
Just back and forth these little boots.
And this mustache became great friends with another very famous historical mustache and leader of the Rough Riders, Mr. Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh, I thought Roosevelt. You were talking about DMX. Roosevelt?
Oh, rest in peace, DMX. I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
The Rough Riders roll.
Stop. Everybody knows that, that Teddy Roosevelt's... spiritual successor was DMX, right? Wait, did I get that right? The Rough Riders,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you did. Okay. It was the Rough Riders.
I didn't even put the DMX thing. Where my dog's at?
Why are you so angry? It's 7 a.m.
One day they meet outside of town and good old Teddy Roosevelt and Seth Bullock become fast friends. Seth even went to the inauguration when good old Teddy became president of these United States of America. They were such good friends that when Teddy died, there was a friendship memorial built outside of Deadwood. What was the name of it called? It had a name.
It was called the Friendship Tower.
Friendship Tower is so cute. And when Seth eventually passes away, his graveyard or his gravesite, was... It overlooked the Friendship Tower, or you could see it from his grave, which is cute. And we'll come back later in this story.
When you say eventually, you mean like 90 days later.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think Robert Stack says like a few months later.
Oh, I don't know.
Homeboy passes away.
Oh, yeah. No, he's right. Because Teddy Roosevelt passed and then Seth passed.
You know what they say about... After.
What year did Teddy Roosevelt pass away?
1919?
It says
Roosevelt died in 1919.
Oh, wow. Seth Bullock died in 1895. Oh, never mind. I'm stupid. Seth Bullock founded the Bullock Hotel in 1895.
Yeah, there you go. That's more like it. Roosevelt died in 1919. But I guess Seth did too.
The old saying goes, like, you know, when a happy couple, when the one partner passes away.
Passes shortly after.
Goes shortly after.
Dude, so Teddy,
yeah, I'm shipping them. That's cute. Imagine those two mustaches, like, touching.
Just dancing.
Aw.
Teddy died in January 1919. So, yeah, a few months later.
Almost a year later. Damn, that's crazy. So he got to overlook the Friendship Tower that was built in under Teddy. That's nice. So 1895, let's back up a little bit. This story's all over the place. 1895, the Bullock Hotel is founded by Seth himself. And in modern times, it was reopened and, you know, the city's kind of back to being like they're able to.
Harlots, yeah, roaming the street without a care in the world.
Well,
taking photos with tourists.
What'd they say?
Using
they
can their trick gamble books. There.
They have casinos or whatever.
Using slut machines.
So they, so they have casinos and stuff there. So it's like a booming little like tourist trap. And the Bullock Hotel's still there and it's haunted as shit. Okay. Sorry. Fuck, that was a long-winded thing. We're talking about ghosts. It's not fucking Seth Bullock's, like, biography. But watch Deadwood. Sorry, Timothy Oliphant plays him. I don't think they give him...
He's
too pretty to give a mustache,
he's the best,
right? I don't think they give him a mustache.
For that era. They get him for everything.
He was really good in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
He was great.
He just played that actor. That was a real person that he played in that movie. Did you know that?
Yeah, it was.
I forget who it was.
That movie is so good.
Yeah, it's been too long. I need to see that one again.
It's great. Make a picture of margaritas and watch it. It's great.
Oh, that's perfect. Fuck, yeah. That's great. Especially for the third act. Dude, your margaritas. So that's funny.
Bust out your flamethrower after.
I was talking to my brother's girlfriend about that movie, and she was like she didn't love it because she was talking about how the girls were like, she was mad that like Sharon Tate was like such a minor character, and I'm like, yeah, but that's like the movie's not really about like Sharon Tate. She's kind of like a
right
side character because you're setting up the end. Like everything with Sharon Tate is setting up the end, and it's like the story's about, you know, these two guys and you know. And I was like, I get it, you know. And then, of course, the Italian wife that he brings back is kind of, you know, a damsel in distress in a hilarious way.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But the dog saves the day, man.
It's Tarantino, man. He wrote Kill Bill and Death Proof. Like, you know, I feel like he does women well. But everybody will always talk like Quentin Tarantino in a Quentin Tarantino movie. Like, if you watch Death Proof, everything What's-Her-Face says from Rent could have been said by Samuel L. Jackson exactly the same way. What's-Her-Face? What's-Her-Face from Rent? What's-Her-Face? What's-Her-Face? What's-Her-Face from Rent? And don't say Rosario Dawson because she's in that movie and was also in Rent.
No, it's not Idina Menzel.
No, it's the black girl.
Fuck.
Oh, you know I'm going to tap that ass.
Tap that ass. Tap that ass. That's
so good. Anyway, yeah, so let's talk about the hauntings at the Bullock Hotel in 1895. The slot supervisor one day sees a phantom shadow. Okay, whatever. Could have been anything. But the operation manager, Joey.
Tracy Toms, sorry.
Yeah. Tracy Toms, super underrated. She should be in everything. I mean, maybe she just still does Broadway and stuff, but I feel like she should be in all the things. She's great. Oh, actually, she was in for True Crime People. If you have Apple TV, Truth Be Told, starring Octavia Spencer as an investigative journalist / podcaster. So fucking good.
I don't think I've seen that. No,
dude, it's really good. And they're making a season two. So Octavia Spencer plays this like investigative journalist whose story put Aaron Paul in jail. And the story is her figuring out what happened in this case.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I have. Yeah, yes,
so
I have.
Good.
I did see it.
Tracy Toms plays one of Octavia's
sisters. I did see it. So you know what's funny is I watched – it's kind of like a play on Serial. Like she puts this guy in jail, but except it's opposite where Rabia was trying to get Adnan out. She's a podcaster. Yeah,
Aaron Paul.
Like and then the two sisters – Lizzie Caplan plays the two twin sisters.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that. Yeah. I forgot about her playing those two complete. Oh, I love Lizzie Caplan.
She's fucking great.
Rocks.
Yeah.
The operations manager, Joey, has a very spooky encounter at the Bullock Hotel. He's walking by the bar to get to the office. And when he's in the office, he hears moving around. And then he walks back outside and all of the stools in the bar moved. And that freaked him the fuck out. Also, a 19-year-old unnamed employee, apparently one day the lady says this kid just came flying out of the back room of the restaurant, ghost white. And he said that he saw a man in a cowboy type dress with jeans tucked into his boots.
Oh, yeah.
And that he was really confused because he is like, he thought what he saw wasn't real. And I think that's such an interesting way to describe a ghost sighting. Like, it wasn't real though. Like, I just saw this, but there's like, it wasn't real. Like, what, that's, you know, weird. Like, what does that mean? And then we get to good old Sandy Bullock, Miss Congeniality herself.
Oh, yeah. The mind medium of Unsolved Mysteries.
So this old man named Sandy Bullock in Dorset, England, is a psychic, I guess. And
they call him a mind medium, David.
Oh, shit. Do they? Yeah. Sorry. So he's a mind medium, and he says that some people pop in every now and then in his ghostly dreams.
Hold up. A mime medium? So
mind, you
know,
mind.
Oh. You know that's...
I was thinking mime, like he no, translates no, no, no. Like the work of a mime. This mime is saying he's thirsty.
You know, the they don't say, but he moved from Dorset, England to Cleveland.
Yeah. He's a medium that only can contact dead mimes. Which is not convenient for anyone. What a terrible... The worst medium. So Sandy's this guy in fucking England, and he says that Seth Bullock visited him pretty much. And he said that a Native American ghost played ghost telephone with Seth Bullock, and Seth Bullock told this Native American spirit to tell Sandy Bullock, no relation, that there was like going to be a crime spree in 1993, like, you know, something bad was going to happen. Lawlessness was going to happen in 1993.
There's going to be a resurgence of Deadwood. Ghost telephone.
Ghost telephone.
A period of lawlessness.
Yeah. He also told him that he couldn't haunt the hotel because of all the banging. And then the lady was like, but then the lady was like, oh yeah, the banging super loud and annoying too. And but they didn't like emphasize. I was like, is there construction? What is this? What are you talking about?
What kind of banging?
It used to be a house of ill repute.
So he says he's like, I went on ghost sabbatical to England because the hotel's annoying and loud. But he said he'd be back soon. That old Seth would be up to his old tricks. And that's what caught the lady off guard, because her aunt used to call the ghost anytime something weird would happen, would say, ah, oh, that's old Seth. And there's the other skeptical lady who like asked him for the test questions, basically asked like, what famous person did Seth know? And then the man responded like, oh, you know, there's trees blocking Teddy's memorial, but you know, we're still friends in the afterlife.
Yeah.
And that really freaked the lady out.
Oh, she also asked, how is Seth's grave positioned in relation to that friendship? And he said, oh, yeah, Teddy and he meet in the afterlife every now and then. They grab a spiritual beer.
A ghost beer. And that's it. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I
wonder if this old man ever visited fucking Deadwood.
She said she got goose pimples.
Yeah, goose pimples. I don't like Goosebumps is so much better.
Goosebumps is way better. Maybe because we grew up reading those books.
But goose pimples just sounds like they're all nasty and white, and
full of pus,
to be popped. And they're oily,
waiting to be popped.
So gross. Anyway, so Seth Bullock haunts Deadwood still or whatever. I don't know. Who knows? So the last case is a missing persons story. It's a real
wow,
sad
did
one.
This take a turn for the worst?
We're going to be talking about 32-year-old therapist who worked with autistic kids. So, of course, she was a great person. The way this story begins is a bartender, older lady, sees the strange lady come into her bar. She seems very depressed. She's kind of odd. She doesn't order a drink. The lady tells her she needs to order a drink in order to stay there, and she offers her a soda, which she accepts.
A sody?
Sody.
And she just thought she just thought it was odd. And then a little bit later, she sees the missing person's
flyer
poster for Dee Dee Rosenthal and realizes that that was the same person, or she thinks that she found this
the description
person.
Matches.
Yes.
As well as the low-res black and white Xerox of a Xerox photo.
Oh, dude, right. Terrible, terrible quality.
That's got to be a copy of a copy of a copy.
100%. It was terrible.
So when Dee Dee Rosenthal didn't show up for work, she's a therapist, so her colleagues got concerned and they got the police involved. They went over to her apartment, and when they get to the building, the apartment door is unlocked. There's mail outside and nobody around. There's nobody there. The Sunday paper was outside untouched. When they get in there, they find out that she was having financial difficulties. She was close to getting evicted, or she was getting evicted. And they also did find some evidence of foul play, that being that her purse, her car, her keys, her wallet were all there inside the purse left there. Also, her cat was outside in the little area, which was super odd. Like, her friend is like, there's no way she would have just...
left the cat out.
Yeah, left that cat outside. Like, you know.
Yeah, they said that she took the cat everywhere. I just imagined her taking, you know, those new bubbles, those bubble backpacks. Just putting her in the bubble backpack.
Or the kitty strollers. The kitty strollers.
Didn't it seem like a kitten to you guys?
Yeah
it did look like a kitten.
Totally a kitten.
Kind of did. But they don't specify.
That was because the kitten was willing to work for scale for this reenactment.
They didn't have kitty labor laws back then?
Was this kitty a part of SAG?
Kitten labor laws were not in existence in the 90s.
Was this kitty a part of SAG?
Yeah, SAG after a kitty.
Goddamn.
Yeah,
unions.
She never would have left the cat outside. Also, in her car were all of her client records, and all that stuff was left behind as well. So they're thinking she was kidnapped.
Oh, they found her trick book? Murdered. Oh, no, that's different. That's a different
story. Yeah. Different sort of clients. The neighbor had some interesting things to say. She said that at 3 a.m. she heard kind of screaming, but she kind of attributed it to, like, somebody getting startled, falling out of their bed and startling themselves, which is, like, I think this specific neighbor is the only person that's ever done that before.
Yeah.
You know that thing where you startle yourself because you fall out of bed in the middle of the night? Nah.
And then you scream real loud and be like, ah, I fell.
The neighbor, yeah, she hears some noise. And then she says around 3:45 later that same night, the same neighbor hears somebody go out and open the balcony and go out to the balcony. And, of course, they say they're not sure if that was, the Dee Dee or the person who committed the crime. Then they cut back to the lady's story of seeing this lady in the bar, because there was no sightings until this lady called, and this lady said her name was Lori, right? The lady at the bar, the mysterious lady at the bar who ordered soda.
Yeah, they asked. They even asked. They said, "Are you Dee Dee?" She goes, "No, I'm Lori."
Well, that was when she came back later, though.
Oh,
when she flat out asks.
Okay.
So the first time, yeah. So she says her name's Lori and she's looking for a ride to Florida. She's looking for a way to Florida. And this lady said she saw her leave with a biker. The bartender said she saw her leave with a biker. They were able to find this biker and he told them that he dropped her off the next day.
A little rendezvous at night, huh?
Yeah. Had a nice night with her at a liquor store by a highway because she was trying to, I guess, hitch her classy ass to Florida, I suppose. It was a different time.
It's also known as tricking your way south.
Yeah. Or sucking dick all the way across Texas.
and she was traveling with a different type of cat.
All right, Eli for the win.
Well done,
Jazz snaps.
You like how I didn't even have to use foul language on that one.
Yeah, no, that's why it was good.
So mature.
Yeah,
we're growing, guys.
Such a classy joke.
It's been a long time since our first episode. Let me tell you. This coming from the same guy who asked David to say cock again today.
and I obliged. So the mom gets this weird, mysterious friggin' phone call.
Yeah, I have questions about all this now.
It's just mean.
Yeah.
These flyers were everywhere. So she gets a phone call and it says, Mama, Mama. And then the mom says, Dee Dee, is that you? And then she says, Mama, I'm okay. And then the receiver hangs up. And it just kind of clicks. And then she, like, calls her son all frantic and stuff. And it sucks. So the brother received a weird tip. April 15th, a man called him and said, we saw Dee Dee in the Fort Lauderdale area. And as soon as he responded, started talking back, the phone disconnected. So now we're cutting to November of 1992. This bartender is, I guess, according to the reenactment, she's just there for a drink. And she sees this lady, the same lady, now blonde, enter the same bar. And she's sitting there, and the bartender straight up asks if she's Dee Dee this time. She's
yeah, like, this time.
Are
this
you Dee Dee? Is your name Dee Dee? And she says, no, my name's Lori. And she even says, like, well, if you are Dee Dee, your mom's real upset and she's looking for you. You should contact her.
Better call your mom.
Exactly. And police do follow this up again. But they're kind of less – they apparently, even at this point, they don't think that these are the same people.
Yeah.
This
Lori character keeps coming into that bar.
Yeah, by the time they get to the bar, this girl's gone. This blonde girl's gone. Apparently, she left with another biker or something, right?
She loves those bad boys.
And the update is a twist. We have.
Oh my gosh, I did not see this one coming.
The update is a crazy twist. If you haven't been watching the episode with us, so we're ready to blow your minds here. This bartender was just fucking. She just harassed a perfectly normal, weird lady.
Named Lori.
It was like, if you're Dee Dee, you better. And she's like, I got to get out of here.
I'm just trying to have a drink. Calling me Dee Dee.
This lady was not Dee Dee at all. Unfortunately, this lady was not Dee Dee. If you think about it, it doesn't really make sense. A therapist who works with children just like completely jumping off the map and turning into like – a biker with a bad dye job, like a biker girl, slash hitchhiker with a bad dye job.
Who changes her name to Lori.
Yeah. The truth is way less goofy and way more sad. It was the maintenance man in her building just, you know, so close to home that confessed to killing Dee Dee. His name was Charles Reddish. And that's all Unsolved Mysteries leaves us with in the episode, that they're giving him 60 years and her remains were never found. But now we're going to give you that Dan-sclusive bit of little extra info. I think we should copyright that.
I think we should too. I think we should consider doing that every episode, is calling it Dan-sclusive.
In 1995, maintenance man Crazy Eddie is arrested for the hatchet murder of his girlfriend. God. And the rape of her 14-year-old daughter. Once he is arrested, Jesus. He confesses to breaking into Dee Dee's apartment on the hopes of just burglarizing her. But unfortunately, she wakes up and he is startled by her, so he has no other choice but to murder her because...
Oh, yeah, right. Because when you broke into somebody's house, the only choice you have is to murder them when they catch you. That is 100%. Because
she saw him. She saw him, so like he was just like, shit, like she's going to... like she'll be able to identify me because obviously I'm the fucking maintenance man.
She woke up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, God. She woke up and startled him, so he panicked and...
Killed her.
And then basically, after he killed her, he stole $80 from her purse and just kind of left.
$80.
And it wasn't $80 was what it was worth. After a few days of noticing her newspaper starting to pile up on his door, on her doorstep, he decided that maybe it was the better idea to dispose of the body. So late one night, he returns with a shopping cart, wraps her body in a bedspread, puts it in the shopping cart, takes it downstairs, puts it in his girlfriend's trunk, and drives off to a remote area off of Route 130.
Is this the same girlfriend that he later is charged with murder?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So he didn't murder the 14-year-old daughter, just as he raped her?
Correct.
That's terrible, dude. Oh, my gosh. This guy's a monster.
Seriously.
And when I say crazy Eddie, I'm not saying that. Like, that was his actual fucking nickname.
Oh, dude,
like, that's not me, like, trying to, like, that's
this guy.
Better known as.
Dude, screw this guy and screw Betty.
But his name is Charles Reddish, and his nickname is Crazy Eddie?
Yeah, I didn't even catch that. That's weird.
I think Eddie is short for Charles.
Oh. Wait, are you serious?
I think the wiki says Charles E. Reddish. I think it was like Charles, like
Edward. Oh,
like Charles E. Cheese, like crazy Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese, yes.
So maybe his middle name is Edward.
Charles Edward Cheese.
That's crazy. Yeah, so it sucks that this – I guess this lady was just trying to help. But
so wait, is this guy still incarcerated? Is he out? Like, yeah, what's up with him?
No, he's still incarcerated. He was sentenced to 2 life sentences, and then it was changed to the death penalty, and then it was changed back to 2 life sentences because they did away with the death penalty.
He's got to be pretty old. He had gray hair in the early 90s, yeah. 30 years ago.
Isn't that crazy that it was 30 years ago? Almost.
I wonder what this guy's like rap sheet is, because he seems like a really douchey person that has a long list of history.
And it's crazy.
This guy's a friggin' monster.
It just makes me like weary of all the maintenance men that I used to live with. Like, not live with. I never lived with a maintenance man, but like living in an apartment. Ooh. And then calling maintenance to come and fix my radiator.
Just these people, Eli, that go to your house and you're just like, yeah, trust them.
Eli, you need your drain snaked.
Come over and snake my drain.
It always makes me think of Blue Velvet when he pretends to be the bug, like the exterminator for the building, to like go in and look through the lady's house.
Oh yeah, people don't care. You can make up bullshit in the middle. Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, especially in a David Lynch movie that's definitely all dream logic. That movie's so magical.
Crazy Eddie, terrifying. Man.
Crazy Eddie. Fuck. I feel like I knew someone. Oh, no. There was Crazy Josh. We knew Crazy Josh. Crazy Josh is a very nice guy. I never saw him be that crazy.
I used to know a guy named Fast Eddie.
Oh.
But
that was because he could get you drugs really, really quickly.
Oh. Oh. That's kind of cool. I mean, if you're into that sort of thing.
I thought it was like a premature ejaculation kind of thing. Thanks so much for hanging out and listening to the podcast. We've been pretty good about new episodes every Tuesday. So tell your friends. You can always donate to us directly at anchor.com/stackpack.
And sign up to our OnlyFans.
Yeah, our OnlyFans. We're still doing this naked. I forgot. Also, just listening a lot helps us with, you know, making the podcast free. And also, if you can tell your friends and leave reviews on Apple Podcasts, that means a lot.
Oh, dude, we love listening. We love reading your positive reviews. The negative ones, they hurt a little bit, but that's okay. We're doing
our best.
Keep
it to yourself.
We're doing our best.
Yeah, go listen to a you know, a podcast produced by a company with
my Wondery
with comedians.
Yeah.
With professional comedians.
We used to warmly welcome negative reviews, and now we're getting them. It's not as fun as we thought.
Yeah, it's 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 always somebody just doesn't like one of our senses of humor.
I know. It's bad. But it's okay. We can't please everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Daniel, my love. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Sorry, I'm judging people's grass yards in our neighborhood.
Oh.
What does that mean? Dan's become a grass nerd?
Grass aficionado?
Like he watches YouTube videos of like fertilizers.
I'm going to get you one of those lasers where you have to, when you're done edging, you still have to go back with the scissors and like fine tune.
Oh, I'm not. I wish our grass was nice and like thick enough for that to be a thing. But it's getting there. It's good. Yes.
Grass. So you said next week we have a Christmas episode to look forward to.
Oh yeah. And it looks like a bunch of heartwarming stuff. So I'm curious to see how it's going to play out.
I might make a hot toddy next week. We'll see.
Or like, oh fuck, like a. I guess we can't get eggnog, right? We love eggnog.
We love some booznog, man.
If you've been hanging out with us since the beginning of time,
we love
2016. Yeah, but you can't get that. You can't get it year round. That sucks. Actually, maybe. Don't they do it like powdered, like milk, like milk?
We can actually kind of try to make our own, right? Can you make your own eggnog?
You just fart in a glass of milk. put some nutmeg,
egg whites. Yes. Then you eat the egg white, and then you fart into a glass, and then pour some bourbon. There you go, bourbon or brandy.
We're adults. We're adults.
Dash of cinnamon.
We got a father. That's our jokes. Yeah. Father of four and homeowners.
That's it. That's who we are.
Dog owners. Thank you for loving us. I assume you love me. I was talking of. I guess I meant the royal. Thank you for loving us. We love you too. For every mystery, there's someone somewhere who knows the truth. Perhaps that someone's listening. Perhaps that someone is you. Have a delightful week, and you know.
Let your dogs out.
Let your dogs out.
Let your dogs out. Bye.
My dogs are barking.
My dogs are barking.
Bye. Do 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 do.